prophecy given by John G. Lake. Should I do anything different? Do you know who John G. Lake is? He was a very powerful minister, but he ministered a lot in Africa. And when he came back to the United States, he settled in Seattle. He had what's called the healing rooms, and he focused heavily on healing. Very strong man of God, but it was early in the 1900s. At the end of his life, he gave a prophecy, and just the last portion of it I'd like to read. This is something I'm believing God for. I believe the time is now. He said, I can see that there's coming. Sorry, it just grips my heart. I can see that there's coming from heaven a new manifestation of the Holy Spirit in power. And that new manifestations will be in sweetness, in love, in tenderness. Doesn't the world need this now? Beyond anything your heart or mind ever saw, the very lightning of God will flash through men's souls. I see so many people hurting. I hear stories of so many people hurting. The world is in a big hurt, isn't it? When we were small, back in the day, there wasn't so much hurt as you see today. And in the people of God, what are we doing? We're seeking Him, aren't we? And the Holy Spirit is beginning to pour out His grace. Right now, today, this weekend, there's going on in Peru the One Nation, One Day. It's a great big church movement where they've sent missionaries just for one day, actually the whole weekend, over Peru to do a move of the Lord and reach the people. This is the heart of God. God is wanting to reach people. He wants to touch our hearts. He really wants to touch our hearts. Do we want to be part of it? I believe we do. I don't believe we'd be here if we didn't want to be part of it. But then, in order to be part of what God's doing, because He is moving, we need to put aside who we think we are, who we've been told we are. We need to put aside all those things. We need to find out who He says we are. And this is a major thing with the church. Because a lot of time we look at our past, we think about our past, we think about our present, and we think our future is set. And it's not very bright. Because our past and our present just don't quite make it. So we look at other people and we say, they will make it, and they'll make it, but I can't make it. Oh, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with what we think about ourselves. That's what I'd like to bring you today. It doesn't matter a whole lot what we think about ourselves. What matters is, like that song says, you say. Lord, it's what you say. That's what I believe. We need to look at ourselves differently. We need to see ourselves differently. So we're going to look at some scriptures. The first one is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is way back to when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And the Lord speaks to the enemy and says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, Eve, and between your seed and her seed. The seed was Jesus. Even there, God had a plan to overcome evil. Between your seed and her seed. Is it capitalized here in my Bible? Yeah, it is. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Jesus' heel was bruised. He was hurt for a while, for 3 days and three nights. He was overcome, right? And the devil thought he had him, but no. Jesus rose and bruised, crushed his head. His head. When the head is gone, there is no more consciousness. There is no more power. So we can definitively say Jesus was the fulfillment of that. He bruised Satan's head forever, crushed him. And how do we know that from the New Testament? From the next scripture, which is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, for this purpose, the last part of that verse, part B, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested or revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Has Jesus already been manifested on this earth? Has he been revealed? He hasn't been revealed in everyone's heart yet. But that's where we come in with the next verse. He has definitely been revealed on this earth. If you ask anybody, they have heard who is Jesus Christ. He lived. He came. He has been revealed for what purpose? To destroy the works of the devil. That's the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God made a promise way back there. I'll make a provision for you. You have fallen, but I have a provision for you. I'm sending a son, and he will crush the enemy's head. And you find people who say, if God is so good, then why does he send people to hell? He doesn't send people to hell. They're already on their way there. That happened in the Garden of Eden. But God made a provision. It says, in fact, in the scripture, I think it's in Luke, that the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for people. But people got under the authority of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the devil. So where do we come in? Well, we have received that, haven't we? We've received that deliverance. And we need to be the ones who will pass that to other people. So Jesus did pass that to his disciples in Luke chapter 9. That's our third verse. If you can jot these down and look them up at home, you will be blessed to look over just these verses and say, what does this mean to me today? What does it mean to my life? What does it mean to other people? You see a thread. We started at the beginning of the Bible. We went all the way to the end. Now we're coming back to around the middle, Luke chapter 9, and we see verse 1, that Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. He just didn't give them power like, boom, dynamite power. He didn't even just give them authority like a policeman who puts up his hand. If you run over the policeman when he puts up his hand in the street, you can get away with whatever you were doing, right? Oh, but Jesus didn't just give his people authority. He also gave them the power. That's super. That's twice. That's not just authority. That's the power to stop as well. Power and authority over all. How many? All. There's no kind of demon that you cannot chase out with Jesus' name. There's no kind of demon that's bigger or better or stronger than the name of Jesus. He said he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. You could say, well, those are his 12, so I'm not one of them. But if you look at the top of the next chapter, in chapter 10, he got 70 more. 70 more disciples. And after he chose 70 more and told them, you go do the same thing, he said, you also need to pray because we need more laborers. Pray the Father to send more workers. I think that kind of reaches out to us, don't you think so? We are the more for today. God needs more workers. He said, we need to ask him. Send out more workers so more people can be free. But then we say, if only I prayed more, if only I weren't so lazy, if only I had learned more, if only I weren't so distracted, if only I hadn't had so many distractions, if only I didn't have so many troubles, if only I didn't have kids that are a burden to me, then I could really do the work of the Lord. Did Jesus say any of those things when he sent out his disciples? He didn't. They had one qualification. They believed what he said. Do we believe what he said? Do we follow him? He said anyone who comes after him should deny themselves. That means put aside the things that have to do with yourself. Put them aside and come after him, taking up your responsibility, your cross. We have certain responsibilities, certain difficulties. Take it up and go, he said. Follow me. If we can do that, if we can follow him, we can do those works. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. We know he did many mighty works, right? He wrote a good part of the New Testament, probably most of it. And we know he must have been very well qualified because he was really studied. He grew up to be a top rabbi. In fact, he said that he was one of the very best. He didn't lack anything. He was like the top of the top. So he should surely be able to do everything that Jesus wants him to do. But he didn't feel adequate. If we don't stop looking at how we feel about our qualifications, we will never get off the starting line. That right there will make us sit down. We will say, well, I have authority, but if I use it, then what if they run right over it? Well, then you have to remember, those devils don't have power against Jesus' name. He gave you the power too. Not only gave you the authority, he gave you the power. It's in his name. He didn't even ask us to go in our name. He asked us to go in his name. We just sang that beautiful song, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. It's that name that can't be denied what he has done. He is so powerful. But the Apostle Paul, as powerful as he was for the Lord, he experienced weakness. And this is probably the last scripture we'll look at. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We all have heard about Paul's thorn in the flesh, right? We've all heard about that. And some people speculate as to what it was. I don't think we need to speculate about what it was. He said what it was. It was a messenger from Satan sent to harass him, to beat him, beat on him. One thing we can be sure, though, the enemy will always come in places that regard our humanity. And Paul describes what kind of harassments those were. Earlier in the chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says the difficulties that he faced. I'm going to just read some of them. They're not up there in those verses, but in the chapter before, he talks about how in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, fastings, cold, and nakedness. His deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble and I don't burn with indignation? He says he was beaten with rods once, three times. Once he was stoned. Does that sound like what he's talking about, a messenger of the enemy? It does to me. Three times shipwrecked, a night in the deep. A night and a day he's been in the deep. Okay, what do you call that when you're out in the, floating in the ocean, shipwrecked? A night and a day, in journeys often, traveling by foot, in dangers of waters, dangers of robbers, dangers of my own countrymen, in dangers of the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger in sea, dangers among false brethren. These sorts of things were a big hardship to him. And when the devil comes against us, it's always in relation to our humanity. Why? Because our humanity cannot compare with demonic spiritual power. And that's why he wants us to focus on our humanity. Because that's where we are weak. That's where we can be knocked down. So in our minds, if we look at who we are, we'll never match up. By the time you start thinking you match up and you're good enough, you're in big trouble. Because you're on the wrong track. Now we're going to see why. Because the Apostle Paul said in verse 9, he says, I'm reading from the NLT. We have that, right? Yes. He asked the Lord three times, please take this away from me. And each time the Lord said to him, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Do you like that? Think about your worst weakness. And when you experience that and you go, Lord, I'm such a drag. I hate that I'm like this. Lord, would you just shine through me because I don't have the strength. I just can't do it. Would you shine through me? You know, he delights in that. He delights to help us. He's not surprised at our weakness, our human frailty, our shortcomings, our disadvantages. Sometimes we're disadvantaged. Sometimes we didn't get the right sort of things that we should have had. Sometimes we didn't get enough love. Sometimes we didn't get enough education. Sometimes we didn't get enough food. Or the right medical attention. And we are disadvantaged. And we know it. And when we stand among others, we go, I'm disadvantaged. I'm not good enough. Instead of that, say, Lord, you know I had this disadvantage. And you love me so much. It's my weakness. Would you shine through me? Because you said that your power works best in weakness. And this is my weakness, Lord. I want you to work through me. I want you to overcome in it and never, never, never be ashamed. If you've done the wrong thing and your weakness has caused you to sin, bring it to him also. Because we know from the first chapter of the first book of the letter of John, 1 John 1, tells us that we just need to come to him. We don't need to lie about the fact that we commit sins. We need to come to him and confess it. And he makes us all clean. It says, in fact, if we walk in the light like he's in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But the only thing is when we don't want to admit it. We want to cover up our weakness so nobody else will see it, so we won't acknowledge it, and so Jesus won't notice. Is any of that possible? No, usually our weakness, it shows. When we sin, it shows. We might keep it secret, but the effects of it show. Just bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know why I'm like this. You know why I struggle with this. But Lord, I don't want to have it in my life if it's a sin. Because sometimes sins are caused by disadvantages that I was talking about. And you say, Lord, I don't want that in my life. You've set me free. Please heal me and shine through me. Shine through me. He wants to help us. Do you know the Holy Spirit wants to help us? Somehow I always thought he was there judging whether we did the right thing or not. I know he was sent to help us, but it really never occurred to me that his main goal is to help me so that I don't sin, so that I don't drop the ball. I can say, Lord, you know, this is not easy for me. I don't want to drop the ball. I know you want to help me so much. Will you please help me, Holy Spirit? He will help us. It's his goal. Always remember, his power works best in weakness. Why? Probably because we don't have anything to get in his way. If he doesn't shine, then it's just not going to happen. But he's happy to do it for us. So the Apostle Paul says, well, my grace is all you need. Let's look at that one. It's kind of like the fish that are swimming in the ocean. They have all the ocean they need. Do you think it's enough for them? All the ocean? Is it enough for all the fish? All the air that's in this room, is it enough for us? It's sufficient, right? It's all we need. If his grace is all we need, then it's not like you just endure this thing because you can do it with my grace. I don't really think that's what the Lord was telling Paul. He was telling him, it's enough for you. You have what you need. You have what you need. Because my power works best in your need. So now the Apostle Paul says, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ will work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That also means then we don't complain. Oh, the devil's really harassing me. Well, he thinks that's his job. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes for what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal every good thing God gave us. He wants to kill every dream you have. He wants to destroy anything you might build. Before it can get going, he'll try to destroy it. After it's built, he'll try to destroy it. That is what he thinks is his job. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Do we believe in him?
Yes.
We believe. We believe in him. We have received. So we have crossed over from the territory where the devil's in charge to where we have authority and power in his name. And when the devil tries, as he always does, to step over the line, we have to say no. No, devil. No, you can't. Because we have authority and we have power in his name. We should never be surprised what the devil tries. Lester Sumrall, who was a very successful demon chaser, I would call him. Casting out devils was his biggest thing that he was known for. He traveled a lot overseas. And when he returned, he was over in the Philippines in the 40s. And came here and established a church in Indiana, in South Bend, Indiana. Now, while he was in the Philippines, there was a woman who had been a prostitute, a young woman. I think she was like 14. But she'd been on the street for a long time. And Lester Sumrall was hearing about her on the radio, how she was in the prison, picked up for vagrancy. Years ago, it used to be a crime to be homeless. They put you in jail. So they picked her up in the Philippines. They put her in jail. And he was over there. The Lord sent him to minister as a missionary. And he hears on the radio, oh, this girl's here, and she's so demonic. I don't know how they were describing, but she was demonic. And she'd speak to the guard, just say something nasty, and he would die. And to another person, they would die. And Lester Sumrall's hearing that, and he goes, Lord, please send somebody. Go set that girl free. And the Lord says, I want to send you. And he says, Lord, I'm busy. I'm building a church. The Lord told him, you go. He went and prayed and delivered her. It wasn't a one-minute thing. It wasn't even a one-day thing. I think it was like a couple of days. If you're interested in that story, let me know and I'll give you the info. But when the devil went out of her, the nation of the Philippines had a turn toward the Lord. The mayor of Manila came to him and said, what do you want? I will give you anything. He said, I want the soccer stadium. I want to hold a meeting. And they had meetings there, and they had revivals, huge, huge meetings where people were getting gloriously saved and delivered. And even today, I say the Philippines isn't just a little island nation where they love God in the midst of a lot of places where God is not honored so much. In the Philippines, there's a light there because they honor God. God has done great things there. He has done great things here. And we need to stand up in our nation and say, devil, this nation was founded to serve God, and pray daily and say, you don't take this. How about our state of California, our beautiful state? You start thinking of the names, San Luis Obispo, San Diego, Los Angeles, Sacramento. You know what Sacramento means? Sacrament, doesn't it? That occurred to me about a month ago. Why does the devil think he can run this state? We need to pray. Whatever may have been done wrong in the church, still, this land was dedicated to God. And we honor God here, and this is our state. Okay, so we need to be strong against the devil and not be shy and not say, but I'm not good enough, but I don't know enough. Just say, Lord, teach me, lead me, because he will. The Apostle Paul felt weak. He had weaknesses in his flesh. We all do. But his power shines best, works best in weakness. When we sense that, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be hesitant. Just say, Lord, shine, because this is something that's not easy for me. Shine through me. I'm depending on you. One thing we know, if you evaluate your strength and your ability and you end up saying, I'm able, oh, I can do this, you're not on the right track. Remember that. And if you evaluate your ability and say, I can't do it, you're also not on the right track. Because to work with God, you have to let him be the one with the power, the one with the leadership. We work with him. Tommy Barnett. I wanted to tell you about Tommy Barnett. I heard a message by him from Phoenix. I think it's Assembly of God, Tommy Barnett. His son is in charge of the Dream Center in Los Angeles. But Tommy Barnett years ago started the Assembly of God in Phoenix, Arizona. And I heard him, he's just a very successful pastor. And he gave a message one time to other pastors, which surprised me. The message he gave was about how we feel sometimes we just don't make it. And he talked about how he was in a meeting with Paul Yonggi Cho, the great pastor from Korea, South Korea, at one time and probably still is the largest church in the world. And how after Dr. Cho spoke and he sat down next to Tommy Barnett and he says, well done, Tommy says to him. And he says, I missed it. I did a very bad job. And he's going, well, that was a wonderful message. That was great. And then Tommy Barnett gave another example with Oral Roberts. He was speaking in a meeting, and Oral Roberts came afterwards and goes, man, I just wasn't at my top today. I just didn't do my best. It's like, well, that was a great message. How can you say that? And then how about Catherine Kuhlman? Have you heard of Catherine Kuhlman? Yes. You know, she said she would die 1,000 deaths before she would go out on the platform. Did you know that about her? Yep. Why? Because people came for what? They were expecting miracles. Could she do miracles herself? And she knew it. That would be very scary, right? The only way that meeting is going to go on is if God meets her when she gets out there. And she knew it. She knew it. So next time you're about to pray for somebody and you're like, oh, or you're about to say something, you want to encourage, you want to witness, just remember that. God will do great things through you if you let him shine through you. If you forget about who you are and remember who he says you are, if you begin to see yourself differently, I think the problem is we're all brought up with this idea of do's and don'ts. Do the right thing, get the good thing. Do the bad thing, get the bad thing. No, don't think of it that way anymore. Start thinking of what does God say? And how can I follow him more closely? How can I believe him more firmly? He's for me. And I certainly want to follow him with all my heart. So Lord, help me please. I choose to see what you say about me. To do that, you're going to have to search the word. That's the only way we're really going to find what he says about us. In closing, I'd like to read something that T.L. Osborne wrote. Now, T.L. Osborne is another very successful minister. He's passed on now. He and his wife, Daisy Osborne, they used to go overseas. The first time they went to India, all fired up as missionaries, and they failed miserably. They thought, what do we have to offer these people? After all, we have the gospel. They have hundreds of gods. They don't really need another one. And what do I have to say? I have to say that this little young lady, as a virgin, had a baby, and this baby was the Son of God, and he lived and did miracles, and he died and went to heaven, and he's coming back again. Put your trust in him. Yeah. That's what the people of India said. They go, okay. And they came back as failures. They came back to the U.S. And the Lord ministered to him. He said, I have this. This is all I have, Lord. But then, what is the gospel? It's the power of God to salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, I don't have any other story. So I'm going back there with that same story. I believe you. It is the power of God to salvation. So he went back there and started speaking the same thing. I guess he could draw crowds even then. Oh, if you see pictures of later times, it just looks like thousands, maybe 500,000 people are just gathered there. What's the difference? He said, there'll be some guy sitting on the fence over here. He'll hear that message about how Jesus came, how he's the healer, and the man will get healed. Oh, I'm healed. He starts saying, I'm healed. And he starts jumping around. Well, then other people believe. And that was the key. When that started happening, that's the outpouring of God's grace. It turned everything. And he was very, very successful in preaching the gospel and winning many, many people to the Lord. Now, he has a book called Healing the Sick. From that book, I'm going to read a little section. He says, you may say, I am so small and weak, but God is strong, even in weak people. Don't you like that? We may never feel that we can do the things that Jesus said we can do, such as heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, because we may feel so powerless in ourselves. No person who is willing to act according to feelings or who judges things from their outward appearance will ever know the blessing of God's strength being perfected in human weakness. That's why we have to ditch what we think about ourselves. When we feel weak in our flesh and confess our weakness, we glorify the adversary who delights to tear down our strength and prevent God's miracle power in our lives. On the other hand, when we feel weak, if we testify according to what God has said, and we are persistent in declaring, when I am weak, then I am strong, our confession of the word will defeat our sense of weakness, and we'll be strong and do exploits. We will glorify God, who alone is able to transform our weakness into strength, bringing victory out of defeat. Here's the key, though. You've got to have the word of God in your heart. Don't ever let it go. Don't let a day go by, because that's where you find out who you are, what he says, what he tells us to do. Remember he said, if we're persistent in declaring when I'm weak, then I'm strong. We'll be strong and do exploits. If we testify according to what God has said. Well, we can't testify anything about what God has said if we don't know what he said. That's why I like to take a verse every day. Besides what I read, when I read something, then I'll take, okay, this verse is the one I'm thinking on today. It just sticks with you. Or even a line from a song, as long as it's from Scripture, just take that. And it will minister life to you. And that life will come out of you. Now, I'd like to play a song, just for us all to listen. First, I should pray, I suppose. We'll pray and then listen to this song and let the Lord speak to our hearts. It's a song called Into Dust. Do you know that song? Into Dust. And it speaks of how we are nothing. We're dust. But his word in us, it makes us alive. The devil doesn't want us to know that, but he knows it. We need to know that, and we defeat him. On our own territory and out there. That's one thing Lester Sumrall said. Well, you know, he was so successful casting out devils. He says, people say, yeah, but when you start aggravating the devil, then he comes after you. He says, that's fine. You defeat him there too. That means we always have to be ready for a fight. We always have to be knowing who we are. We always have to be dependent on his power. So let's commit ourselves to the Lord and listen. We'll listen to this song. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word, it doesn't fail. It won't ever fail us. Help us to cling to it. Holy Spirit, thank you that you want to help us. We want so much to depend on you. We want your light to shine through us in our own lives, in the lives of those around us, in the darkness. We want your light to shine. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you. I commend every person to you today. May we receive the power and the authority that you mean for us to walk in when you gave it to your disciples. Let us take it. Let us go in it, not trusting in our own selves, but trusting in your power. For as you said, when we're weak, we're strong. Your power works best in weakness. Lord, we take hold of that word. We say thank you for it, because certainly we do feel weak, but you are strong in us. And we do acknowledge that. And we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for transforming the way we see ourselves, and therefore transforming our lives and the lives of those we come in contact with. We're asking you to pour out your grace and your mercy. We need it in this world today, Lord. Send forth laborers that we can have light and not darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are good. You you speak.